been a while since we've heard that. It's unusual. It's nice.
That's nice.
It's unusual. It's nice. Different. Hello. Again. Haven't seen you in a while, have we? Welcome to Chew the Fat.
Version 2?
Version something or other. My name is Russell Alford.
My name is Patrick Hanlon. And we are back behind the microphone. Bit of an extended, prolonged absence from this, which is going to be the subject of this entire chat, this entire recap, reconnection. I don't know what else to
I think that's probably the best thing, kind of a catch-up, I guess. In a typical blogger fashion, it's very much, this is the podcast version of, I'm just going to hop on and talk to you about. It's very much that, but it's been overdue doing this. We have had a few people... and again, not doing that annoying blogger Instagram kind of thing of, we've had a couple of people say, no, we actually have had a couple of people going, are you ever going to do the podcast again? And we've said, yeah, asterisk, we don't know when. And so here we are. And this is our special one-off, potentially maybe two-off, I don't know, type of show, I guess, isn't it? We've been wanting to go on to kind of talk about the long absence of Chew the Fat from, I'm not going to say airwaves because it's a downloadable podcast.
Earwaves?
Earwaves, yeah. Yeah. But it's going to be a bit of a story.
And
so.
Have we missed you?
Yeah.
But
we have actually.
We're just going to pour a large glass of wine and get into it.
Now, just in case anyone is wondering, this isn't recorded at 8 a.m. It's recorded in the evening.
Although in a pandemic,
who knows?
Anything goes, right?
So.
And this is the first time that we've ever recorded this at our dining room table.
Yeah.
In a year or so, or just over a year of pretty much everybody having to pivot to produce their work at their
dining room table
that they also eat at. That they also have entertained us. Here we are.
Podcasting from it.
Yeah, and that was never in the plan.
So, I guess, what was the last episode even published before? I know we did do two during the latter part of spring and early part of the summer.
I think it could have been Takashi's episode.
Yes.
Because I think we talked about a pandemic.
Yes, and actually, interestingly... Yeah, I think we mentioned it in it, but interestingly, when we recorded it, like we travelled freely to Cork, for example, and we went there. There was hand sanitizer. I've hand sanitizer in front of hand sanitizer there. It's everywhere in this house. Thanks, Lestoke Distillery, which is down the road from us.
The best and the original distillery that pivoted to hand sanitizer.
FYI, no. In fairness, it's kind of a thing of whenever we. Cross paths with anyone from the Stoke Distillery, there's a hand sanitizer thrown our way, just going, you have enough, keep safe. It's like, okay, I definitely have enough now, but it's very well appreciated. So, that was a big breath. Takashi's was the last. Takashi Miyazaki's episode was the last one.
And that was posted when and recorded when? Because that was... held on to for a while, I think.
Oh, it was held on to for quite a while. That was the 21st of April.
That's today.
Oh my god, that's today. I just...
That's really weird, and we kind of cobbled this plan for this episode today completely out of the ether.
Yeah, I was watching Great British Menu and I wasn't feeling it, so I turned around to Patrick and said, well, we did our podcast we've been meaning to do for a while. So we did it.
Oh my god, you talk so fast.
I know. I'm just really excited to talk. I haven't really talked, have I, over the last year? No? No?
You've talked and then some. Okay. But, wow, a full year. So we recorded that episode on the 21st, or it got posted
it got on the posted 21st. On the 21st.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Yeah, posted on the 21st.
So one full year off the airwaves.
Yes.
Earwaves.
Earwaves. Ugh, sounds like earwigs. Sound isn't nice.
Though in recording that, we definitely had the sense that it
something.
Was coming close to something being brought in to help curb the potential spread of COVID-19, so...
We didn't even hug him. We always hug him. We always shake hands with him when we see him. Because he's such a lovely person, you want to. Except when he's in the Chef Whites, then it's kind of like he's scary.
I'm scared, yeah.
Yeah. But it was that kind of thing of like, okay, this is a bit weird. And then we went from there to Ballymaloe. And in Ballymaloe, it was like, that was our last meal out. What a way to go, to be honest. It was our last trip. It was the last meal away. And it was like, okay, this is scary now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we could feel it coming down the line. So we kind of knew in recording that episode that this would have to take a back seat for a while, or we'd definitely just have to put pause on it. And it was so annoying because could you tell people about your plan? Because yep. we started that year with such vigor and energy.
So when I guess if you know. There's a possibility you are new to the GastroGaze world, and in the last year, our like following has grown quite a lot thanks to shares from great people, due to some lovely competitions that we have had, as well as just hard work at trying to keep making content. Essentially, so there's still a few people who don't realize we actually ever made a podcast. You know, so if you're part of the OG crew, welcome back. But we had done 3 seasons at that point. And it was this midway through the third. And we were so energized by the fact that there wasn't a huge amount of stuff like this going around. We were really like, we loved making this podcast. Like, I say loved in the past sense. I still, the idea of doing this now and putting it out like this is actually kind of feeling normal a little bit. But we really, really loved making it and had the best time meeting people or reconnecting with people who we haven't seen for a couple of years or haven't caught up with or anything. And we kind of didn't want to compromise on what was the essence of True to Fat, which is us travelling around with a microphone in hand that sometimes broke on occasions. Let's not talk about that. And we really enjoyed the idea of going around and going to people's happy places, I guess is the best way to go. That it's, you know, I think if we've talked about this in like interviews or whatever when promoting the podcast, I've always said that I used to work in TV and radio, and I would see the most confident person in the world corpse up because they're put in front of a microphone, or there's a camera around them, or there's someone pointing fingers, counting down seconds. And we really were reluctant to pull away from that world of recording and making people feel comfortable, and also making it less of an issue for them to come to us, if you know what I mean. As in, it was like, When are you free? 2 o'clock on a Tuesday. Grand. You've just fed the cattle or whatever it is. We'll come around then. Do you feed cattle? No, you don't feed cattle. You think I'd learn by now. Do you feed cattle?
What?
I don't know. I don't know. It just
of
uses
course
example.
You feed animals.
I know. Well, you know one of those things where you say it and you kind of go, hang on, but they eat the grass all day. But of course they get fed. Idiot. Sorry, the cocks.
But,
so it was, yeah. It was the whole thing of, we just didn't want to lose the essence of what this was. And so we said we'd, yeah. And we said that we didn't want to, we said we'd take a break essentially from it, a couple of weeks break. And it's now 52 weeks.
But our hands were tied because we felt this thing coming, and that people are going to have to space out and travel is going to be cancelled, and we can't do everything that we wanted.
For a short while.
For a while. At that point, it was a few weeks of just everybody go back and close the door and try to keep apart. So I don't think we really thought about it that much or expected that it would change this entire production and put it entirely on ice. But just to add to your point that, yes, the essence of Chew the Fat is us out in the field. It is an in-the-field production.
Literally
feeding
the cattle.
In so many fields. Yeah. But
actually, one of the last ones we recorded was with cattle.
Yeah.
And it, like, literally, we just, like, were with one that was just born or something. It was like pretty raw.
It was up close and personal. But aside from our own experience of producing it in the field and getting that energy off the person in their natural habitat, we always produce this and always do produce this, taking ourselves out of it. Mm. So just because we have had the experience of eating the food from a particular chef in their restaurant or going to a particular farm in the past and interviewing the producer, it's more about us being the vehicle that you get to meet them. So it's us traveling there on behalf of you and trying to capture that feeling and that environment if you haven't ever experienced it before. So it had been really, really important to take ourselves out of it and think, okay, so if we are going to produce this over Zoom, it loses the essence of that. And it really, really compromised it. And the plan was at the start of
Oh yeah, this
year,
is the whole thing you wanted me to explain, yeah.
To produce it every week. Because yep. I think we had...
We had mapped out the guts of a year.
We really did.
We mapped out a gut... We mapped out the guts of 2020, putting into place things like festivals, events we knew that were happening, campaigns that we knew that there might be good spokespeople on, that we could get great interviews on, book launches, things that we had in mind that we were like, we could get X, Y, and Z throughout the year.
I think
we got to about June, if I remember right.
Yeah. And Chew the Fat had been in season 3 hitting its stride, I think. It had even gone international for an episode or two.
Yeah, you know, with Anna Ha in London for a great episode. One of our favourite episodes. Equally, Adrian Martin's as well.
Yeah.
Was one of the last ones we recorded too. And that was also in London. And that was so much fun to record.
Amazing. Yeah.
So we were starting to get onto that end of things and loved doing that. And then this all happened. And here we are, drinking wine on a Wednesday night.
And still at bloody home, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it was an unconscious but an agreed thing between ourselves. And we did agonize over, we didn't want to lose all of the work that we had started and had been kind of doing something that hadn't been done before in the
style. At
least
in the style that we were doing it in.
And especially in the subjects that we were choosing to highlight the stories of.
Because in a lot of cases, some, obviously, there's one or two who are very much household names.
Yeah.
And obviously, they are amazing interviewees. But there was also the thing of, we were being led by people who we met at different things. People whose products we love. People who we were aware had great stories. So it wasn't a case of only organising interviews with people who were offered to us. In fact, very few.
Rarely.
I think in the last like 6 episodes that were there, I think 2 were such offered and the rest were arranged ourselves. And I love that, and they're all amazing. We're all close contacts with them anyway, in that kind of way. It's not, but
do not say close contacts.
Oh, can't say that word anymore, can we?
Oh, a shiver just went down my spine.
They're close contacts of us. No. So that, yeah, it's an unfortunate thing. So basically it got to about April, and maybe the idea of being able to travel around the country again was coming back. And we both were like thinking of the idea of, well, we could do it. We do what lots of the reporters are doing. You get a golf club and put your microphone at the end of it. I can't do that. I can barely hold a box at the best of times. Never mind holding a golf club. I don't even know what they are.
And also at the time it was kind of, and so this is April 2020.
Yeah.
So at the time there had been this real conversation about essential.
Yeah.
And even though it really felt that this is an essential part and such an enjoyable and fulfilling part of our jobs,
it's not an essential in the grand scheme of things.
It's not essential.
And
to
even
traveling around the country, and even the optics of that, it depends on your definition of essential, but the optics of us pair packing up, hitting this town, then that town, then from this county to that county.
And it was never considered either. It was never a thought, no. Because it was always like everyone was doing everything online and everything. Mm. It was never something that we considered. But as time went on, and we're seeing podcasts continue, and we're seeing broadcasting and the media continue, rightly so, it is so important to... because this is such a self-starting project, this is just the two of us. We don't have anyone, never have anyone looking out for our interests. It's always been ourselves organising everything. That it never was a conversation to even think about. Sure, we can just say we're making broadcasts. It doesn't work like that. And we were scared shitless, and still are, around that time as well. Like, we barely left this house. Yeah. And... ate a lot and drank a lot to get us through it. Yeah. And had a nice time at the best of times too.
Our coping has definitely been
food and drink.
Food and wine. Yeah. In the drink wider industry, because we definitely partook in all forms
of
that. I think
the funny thing is too, it was the thing of when we thought back to... like March and April, he says as he raises a glass of wine to his lips.
I mean, it's right in front of me, taunting.
And when it all kind of started, we very much took this as like, okay, take a break. Been kind of running at 100% for so long. Take this break, and that's all well and good to say until it's like several months. And now a year later, where it's like, I can't take a break because I have stuff to do and I'm busy and everything. And we are like, at this moment in time, probably the busiest we have been in quite a long time. So
happy to be after.
So happy.
You know, if we just go back for 1 second to those moments that, that preceded that... Takashi interview in Cork, and kind of that feeling of, okay, everything's closing in, everything's closing down. Our work stopped overnight. Mm. There was about 3 days that everything fell one by one, cancelled.
If we got an email in,
postponed. Yeah.
If we got an email in, it was to tell us that the work that we were going to do, even the work that we were going to be doing remotely anyway. The idea of working from home, by the way, is not a new concept to Patrick
not
and I.
At all.
We have been working from home and self-employed, as thousands of people are, for a long time now. So we're used to it. It was no new concept to us. It was just the fact that we were around each other 24/7, whereas before we may have gotten an hour away from each other every so often as well, or a day here and there, you know? So it was a very different kind of concept of being at home. And it was all... God, I feel like I'm having flashbacks to this time last year now. This wasn't a good idea at all.
But I think if we then flash forward to now, we have definitely grown a lot in the last year. It's definitely put hairs on the chest. It's definitely us to have had... to grow up, and like when you're faced with everything in your job cancelled overnight
and collapsing around
collapsing you, and you are isolated at home and you only have your own thoughts and your partner, and that's all that you have, it really puts into perspective the things that are important, the things that you had hoped to achieve that possibly can't be achieved now, and you really have to fight your way out of that box. And I think we did indeed take that time off to just, like, after going at 110% to go down to like 0%, and then through the course of the year, as things had been extended, and this looked like it was not going anywhere fast, it'd be hanging around slowly for a long, long time. We threw ourselves into the online world, as everybody else did, but because we hadn't got any earnings, it actually gave us the free time to
do stuff, essentially.
To do stuff and to think about the projects that usually we have to put to the side because we have to prioritize our work, because this is our full-time jobs, and it isn't a straightforward job either. There's a whole heap of income
streams. There'd be people also listening to this right now, and we're saying it's our full-time job and it's our job and everything like that, and we'll be job. And if you think that way, you can absolutely think that way. I will debate you at a distance. Socially distant, of course. But this is our job. We are food and travel writers. We are content creators. If you agree with that title or not, again, that's what we are. We do social media for companies. We do imagery for companies. We do copy for companies, countries. We're not that big yet. And everything is on a project-by-project basis. And that was... It's very much the way of the modern, digitally trained 20-something, both of us now 30, sorry. you know, people who've come through the kind of creative world of journalism, modern journalism, I guess, in terms of digital things, who've started up blogs maybe 10 years ago. And this is the world you live in. This is, you know, you are not just a writer. You are everything else as well. And that's really where we went with all of this. We just were like, well, things don't have to... I think it got to about 2 or 3 weeks. And we realised things don't have to be, I guess, doom and gloom and too much. It's like, well, we've always operated in an online world, in a way.
Yeah.
It's been the norm. It's just the inspiration and the... what's the word for it? I guess the inspiration and the subject matter has always been mobile. It's always been moving. It's very rarely been ever in these four
static
walls.
Yeah.
So it made us have to think completely differently. And, you know, plenty has been said about our COVID delivery guide, which started at the end of March in 2020. Hundreds of thousands of clicks onto it. Like, it's ridiculous how many... it crashed our site several times. Yeah. And yeah, that was a great piece of work that we're both very, very proud of. And that's the type of thing where it was like selfless. It was like, well, I can create content. I have a platform. I have a website that has good SEO. I have a good following. At the time, it was about 20,000 followers. It's now 30,000. And we can use this for some good, because Jesus Christ, we need a bit of good going on.
Absolutely. And it was so... it was so hard to see the food and drink industry on its knees. Of course, the travel industry and all industries, but our industries that we operate in are primarily the food and the hospitality industry and travel. But to see producers who had never had an online platform before, and all of their orders for trade from chefs, from huge companies, from catering clients, it felt as if everything for them stopped overnight, and they hadn't an online presence, so
they didn't know in many cases.
Them scrambling and really trying to survive. So us having the time on our hands thought, well, I can just wallow here in our own unhappiness, or I can just apply all of that built up energy into trying to showcase them and trying to help them have a voice and amplify it, and also be that connection that a wider audience can order safely online. It really started when the guidance came in to say, try to not go to the supermarket so often. Yeah. Try to reduce your amount of trips. And so it sparked so Ireland has amazing produce, and all of these producers are scrambling to go online and could really use the support and those direct orders. But how can the wider audience understand who they are, how I order?
How can I tell the story about them quickly to make people go, I'm going to order? You know, make it enticing, make it interesting, because, you know, there's entire, like, local enterprise office courses on exactly this, on how to make your offering great and all that. And people were doing this in 24 hours. They were calling their tech savvy friends to set up a website, or asking someone with a good camera in the family to take a nice photo to put up on a thing called Shopify that they never heard of before, and making it work. And, you know, that was amazing to see, but also really distressing to hear about, because again, you know, people are our friends, people are our contacts who we've known for years in this industry, and it was the thing of trying to do something good to help and trying to be equal with it as well, as best as possible, that there was no precedence, that it wasn't like you know, even there was
only our friends,
only our friends thing, or yeah, only our anyone who paid, no one paid for
no one.
I wish at times, you know, we've always said, like, if that was a paid thing, that would have set us up for a while, but you know, that wasn't what the business was. It was about using the platform for good and making a bit of a difference, and you know, from feedback from people, that is the case, and we're very proud of that. And I guess that has been kind of the testament of what we did for the year in the most part. And that was weird because, I don't know, it was online, but it was so, like, you couldn't see the results ourselves, if you know what I mean. But it was felt in other places, and it was nice to get a bit of recognition here and there, and a bit of, you know, and mention here and there, and the website crashing here and there because it was on telly and things like that. But
although in all of those spotlights, in all of those interviews that we got asked to do again, the story underneath that is not about us.
No,
it's about,
this is literally the first time we're talking about it from an us perspective.
It's a, yeah, I'm only organizing the information, but I'm gonna tell you about all of these incredible producers, and please order off them if I can be, I guess, the source that you can click off to order your coffee, to order your flour, to order fresh bread to your door, to order a veg box, to order your meat and fish. I'm happy to collate all of that information, add some context in terms of story and area that they cover and prices and stuff, but it's really about
the people.
The people. Mm. And that's how Chew the Fat has always been as well, that it's introducing interesting stories and drawing interesting connections between an audience and these personalities who we feel you should know.
Exactly. We want to introduce them into your life and introduce their products into your life and their personalities and everything like that.
If I just think back to the list that we started, we kind of had an ongoing thing of who we envisage being a part of this.
Yeah.
And each episode and each season. So, you know, the list is just endless and it's always ever growing. And they say that during these times of crisis, it really spearheads creativity and innovation and evolution. And the past year, of course, typifies that. There have been really great stories and upstarts and pivots and evolutions that we would love to begin to share the stories of again.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of the point that we're at, in a way, that we're kind of trying to figure out. We have mentioned that there has been a couple of episodes of Chew the Fat recorded that hadn't gone out. And so there's,
can you
still
give some context to the reasoning behind that? Answer the question.
No.
Answer the question, Minister, I am putting to you.
No.
So why haven't they gone out?
They haven't gone out. So this is where you and I kind of have had a few tete-a-tete about, because one of the things we've always been really happy with is this, pre-COVID, I guess, the evergreen nature of the podcast, and the fact that in the most part you could listen to it maybe a year after it went out, but there's not many timestamps, I guess, is the thing. I even avoid hellos, good mornings type of thing, you know, because you never know when someone's listening to it. And How should I say it? I think we had about four more episodes still in the ether. And they're very good episodes. They are great guests. They are great talkers. But there was an element of, God, you're just so full of hope. And you said so many plans and so many great things. And it would have felt a little bit distasteful to turn around and be like, and you can't get that product right now because everything's closed. Or, yeah, it's not the best use of the exposure or the opportunity to publicize about places or people when they're not actually able to do the thing you're trying to promote, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Everything changed around us overnight, so the whole context of those couple of episodes changed.
Yeah.
And even though the bulk of the information is evergreen and the story is the story of each of these subjects, it felt that putting it out at the start of the pandemic was the wrong timing.
Yeah.
Then for the guts of the year that followed, it was hard to find the right time because all of us were so panicked about other stuff.
Yeah.
So us chiming in, hey you guys, back with another episode pre-pandemic, so enjoy this. It just didn't quite feel right. But I guess we're coming to a point now that we feel something.
Yeah.
Something's different, and it's always in a constant state of flux, and we're very protective over this product and this project.
As we are about our own
name
and what we associate with and everything like that. So we had been thinking, this is something for you to ponder, and if you are listening to this, we would appreciate feedback in a message, a tweet, carrier pigeon, whichever you like. Actually, a carrier pigeon would be really nice for a change. Someone could send one. No? You hate pigeons, hate actually. Birds. Yeah, you hate pigeons. So. Anyway, we have been toying with the idea of doing this as kind of a weekly food radio show style podcast instead of it being the pure interview based show that it had been for the last while, for the foreseeable until we can get out. Mainly because we've really missed doing this. We've really missed connecting with people that isn't through a direct message. When every so often a producer might call or say something like that on the phone, and I swear we're on it for about 20 minutes just being like, you know what, it's really nice to hear your voice. Could you just say more things to me? Because it's lovely. And it's that kind of thing of like, we'd love to bring that in, compiling bits of information that might be relevant to you. And it again goes against the rule of evergreen, but making it a weekly thing that you might listen to it on a Friday morning or a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning. You don't have to listen to it morning. You can listen to it any time of day, but you know, mornings are always nice, I think, for food programs. I think. And we had toyed about this idea, and so do let us know if you think it's a goer, if you think it's a nice idea that you'd listen to something that will give you a couple of bits of information about things that maybe you can get delivered or exciting projects that people are doing in the food world. And then maybe a little interview with a couple of the names and faces of and voices. We won't be their faces, it's audio, get over it. The voices of people around the food industry and the drinks industry. And even to a degree, the hospitality, because it's, you know, it's so intertwined. And bringing them all together just for an hour, a week, half an hour maybe. No, actually, it's me. I won't do anything half an hour. I haven't done this for half an hour. So, yeah, I think there's an idea there. And if you think that would be something that you might enjoy, until we can get back on the road and shove microphones in people's faces.
And have hugs and be in the same room and
I missed a pre-recording. Yeah, I missed a pre-recording hugs. Yeah. I miss that thing of, especially when it's like someone you hadn't seen in ages, which is now everyone. I miss that kind of just big hug going, oh my God, you've come to my facility, you've come to my factory, you've come to my farm, you've come to my restaurant. And it's just a real sense of like, yay. Haven't seen you in ages, or there's no customers here. We can talk. Yeah. freely. Or the other favourite thing that we always had was when it was like, all right, thank you for joining us on Tuna Fat. Okay, that went well. Happy with that? Yep, cool. Anyway,
okay,
tell us about this that. Bitch. And we just have chats for hours.
After show.
The after show, it's on, to be honest.
Unrecorded.
To be honest, the unrecorded stuff is sometimes better than the podcast. Oh. No, it's not. That's always really interesting. And that's the thing we've always loved about it. And that's the thing we miss. So we'll bring it. We'll may bring it back in a couple of weeks in some sort of form. Even maybe for a month or two. And yeah, we'll, you know, play it by ear because there's no point in... I guess there's no point in putting things out into the world for them to fall on deaf ears either, because it's... Yeah,
absolutely, because as you explained earlier on, it's always been just us two. Mm. That has been the trajectory of our career. Upskilling, upstarting, hustling, just us two trying to organise opportunities, trying to involve ourselves and trying to train ourselves in everything. And this project, this product, Chew the Fat, is organised by us, presented by us, edited by us,
promoted by us,
shared by us, you know, so
eaten by us.
Yeah. And it's a joy and it's a privilege and it's great fun. So we haven't ever thrown it away. It's just been on ice and I think it's starting to thaw.
I think so. I think so. In time. How are you after this year? I don't think I ask you it from time to time. Just how are you? And it's a weird thing to ask someone who you're literally around constantly. Yeah. How have you, for better or for worse, changed?
Grown up.
Yeah.
I'd say being faced with that kind of block, which felt so physical for so long this past year.
Mm.
But really, it was a mental block because... Yeah, everything changed overnight, and it was the year that I had everything hoped for. Mm. And hardly any of that happened, and a whole heap of other stuff happened instead. Some good, but on the most bad. Mm. But yeah, grown up, I'm more wise to the world around me. I'm more inquisitive. I'm more confident in myself, but that's only from speaking now. Mm. There was a portion of that year that was just horrendous.
Mm.
How about you?
It's funny you say confident in that, because I'm literally the least, I'm the complete opposite of that. So it was a thing that, you know, when you go into the memories on your bloody Instagram,
that can be lethal. That can be lethal. The throes of a pandemic.
Yeah. But when you go back into the memories of a year ago or whatever, I still find it fascinating how, and this is ironic, I know, that I'm talking on a podcast, but how often we spoke on things like Instagram. I haven't spoke on Instagram in months. It's 6 months, I'd say. Literally haven't the confidence to do it. It's really, really weird.
And go deeper into that, or confidence in what? Or well, do you know how what? Has your confidence changed?
I just, and you know me, I'm a confident person, but for some reason this year has knocked me out of it. As in, it's the thing of when you get into your head, and part of the reason why I wanted to record this tonight is because there's things happening at the Mo, and I got into my head a little, and I was not in a happy place for a couple of hours before, and I was kind of like, no, I need to cancel this and make something different of it all, and that's why we're here as well. But to put it, to give an example, so even though we have been very lucky, and I'm touching all the wood, like literally licking wood at this point, touching wood about how lucky we have been,
yeah,
that very rarely have we been subjected to any sort of trolling, abuse, nastiness, a few bits here and there, some of it justified, some of it not, and that's me being diplomatic, because I am very diplomatic at the best of times. But despite that, we recently joined a thing called TikTok. One video One video goes up and it's on 160,000 views or something ridiculous like that. It is insanely huge and I can't get over the size of the people watching it. Like, it is just in a massive audience that's completely mind-blowing. And you don't get the notifications because I don't think you're signed in on our account. I'm signed in on our account. And every so often there comes up a thing of, Patrick Hanlon commented on your video. And every time I see that, I fill with dread. Even though TikTok's actually a really positive place. But I don't know what it is, but I'm associating. It's the type of thing of like when you realize you haven't heard from someone in ages and the only thing that they get in touch to do is to criticize you or correct you or tell you you're wrong. It's that kind of thing that I think, and I think this goes for all of us, including ourselves, I don't think people are saying nice things unwarranted or unexpectedly as much as maybe they used to. It's very much, I think the rules of discussion are very much invite me into the discussion, otherwise I'm not part of it, if you know what I mean. And yeah, it's a weird one. So my confidence is destroyed, for one. For two, I think the grown up thing, I think this last year, like, I always felt like a baby anyway. I'm bleach blonde, nose piercing, ear stretching, wears what the hell he likes, young whippersnapper who's on the internet every so often. And in the last year I had to be like, okay, I'm on my own, I'm grown up now and I have to look after myself and keep my head above water and work really hard, and as I always have, but work even harder and build the bricks that was our life up as much as possible. And I think that was a huge lesson, a really great thing to be very proud of. But it's tiring. I'm knackered. I'm just shattered all the time from it. It's like the thing of, I'd love if all of us got like a pass just for a day, just to do what the hell you like, go where you like, just for a day, and then go, okay, grand, back to normal, or this normal, or whatever the hell it is. Because we're in Louth. It's small.
It's small. It's petite.
Yeah.
It's so interesting that you say about that juxtaposition of you're isolated at home, ensconced inside a very particular boundary, and you feel through online that all of us are so connected in seconds, in instantaneousness, that you feel open to the elements in terms of critique and discussion, and you feel almost that you're out there on your own, but
the internet
hearing everything from every angle.
Yeah. Oh, the internet. There's nothing more lonelier than going on Twitter, even if all your friends are there. It's like going to a party and everyone's talking to the new kids in the room, type of thing, or they're all in their own little groups and cliques and everything like that. It can be like that, and it's a weird one that's how after a year it kind of feels. But then again, you also have to go on the opposite side of that as, so what do I do that's any different to that, and so on. I'm like terrible at getting back to people. Awful. Absolutely awful at it.
Even though you've got all of this time on your hands.
So busy.
Yeah.
So busy.
So how...
emails.
How a year and a bit on, and talking about how the year has changed you, how are you going to apply those things going forward? How has this experience of COVID, and it's still ongoing at the time of a recording, but how...
Oh no, did you not see the breaking news alert just there before we started recording? It's over.
No. How are you going to change direction? How are you going to evolve?
Well, Patrick, you already know the answer to that. And you know I can't say it on the air about what I'm going to do to change tact and change things and transform things for a better frame of mind and everything like that. But I think that's ultimately, it's going to be... you kind of have to look after yourself first. I think that's the biggest lesson that everyone seems to have learned, is look after yourself. It's the great experience. I use this all the time. You're probably sick of me using it as the example of the thing that you used to hear in an aeroplane. You know, fit your own oxygen mask first before others. And while that can sound so selfish, it's also a very good thing to do for yourself as a person, to turn around and say, I can't look out for you, I can't look out for someone else, and I can't help you or anything like that. I need to look after me, and then I will get to you, type of thing. And I think that's the kind of thing I'm always going to be, because I've always been very much about others and looking after others. And I will obviously continue to do so always. But in my mind, that's kind of where I'm going. That it's like, if I'm having a day where I'm like, I'm not feeling this today, don't do it. You know, it's funny. The whole thing is such a physical, how should I say it? The whole thing of the pandemic has all been about physical illness, ultimately. And how it affects people physically in terms of their breathing and symptoms and whatnot. And the thing I take from it most is something about the mental end of things, yeah. Which is a positive thing, I guess.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. What about you? What are you going to take away from it?
Applying going forward, definitely the thing that we, I think, both have come to the conclusion of is our operation had to get really lean, and going forward that I'm going to keep applying that, you know, everything had to be easily organized, quick, painless, on a shoestring, the best quality content produced, but you know,
be real about it,
try to be real and try to try to just bring everything back to the heralds and the basics, and really try to keep everything lean, because it can be really difficult to operate project by project, and you're juggling 10,000 plates and trying to keep everybody happy and trying to keep yourself on a timeline, and the deadlines feel as if they're... I was getting up every day dreading, oh God, I forgot about that deadline that's due today. And that kept happening so much that I thought, I'm beginning to get up and dread going to work every day. I'm beginning to dread opening emails. And so
do you remember that period when I didn't open an email for about 2 weeks?
Yeah.
I closed the emails and I said, you're dealing with everything, I can't look at anything.
Yeah. And I think I echo a bit of your evolution plan in that you just really have to push back, and you really have to put yourself first insofar as you can, and prioritize your own personal success and enjoyment and everything that you get out of something first. And strangely enough, after you do that, everything else will fall into place. And if it doesn't, there's a reason.
What has been your favourite thing about Panny D?
Well, the least favourite is you calling it that just
okay,
now.
Okay, how about I call it, how about I do what ASOS did and call it lockers? No, but what has been something that you've enjoyed about it? As in, I'm sure there is something, because it's been a year. Getting to know me?
No. No. What's been something I've enjoyed? There's lots of small things, but there's not one particular thing that I think I've taken away from this. I think others have, and everybody's experience of a pandemic is individual and different, but quite a few other people have, you know, been able to pour their time into projects. So getting out into the garden, or upping their game in the kitchen, or, you know, doing up the entire house. And it gave them the time to apply to things that they were putting off or that they just could never get around to. But I felt the past year I've just been worried all of the time and anxious that I have had pieces of that, but I haven't ever really had that time to just like go into projects that I want to do that aren't about
work.
Earning a crust,
yeah.
That are just a bit, I guess the thing I'm trying to say is personal development projects that I think that's really important. So possibly that's a thing I'm going to take away from this, in that I've had glimpses of that and I've enjoyed that. And that includes the aforementioned being out in the garden and trying to put some order into that. And that's a activity that I get to go out and be alone and think through things and create order in the chaos that I can't have in life.
Yeah.
So it kind of feels as if, okay, I can control this to some extent.
Yeah.
So if I feel I can control that, I feel a bit more in control of everything else.
When you say chaos, the garden is chaotic. To a degree. The bits that you've done aren't. They're fantastic. You built a little wall and everything and taken a lot of bushes out of the way that have been dying and whatnot. So there's an order coming along, and I guess that's for a project for when it's nice and pretty and lovely that we can be normal outside again.
I really have the answer to that question, and that's the thing I've taken away and that I've enjoyed the most is going back to basics in both work and our job and in life, in the things I enjoy, and everything has felt as if it's regressed, but in some ways that's been nice. So connecting to nature and like exploring our town on foot at times has felt as if it's a prison sentence and you're just retracing your steps all of the time. But then at others it actually feels exciting that you're uncovering areas that you hadn't ever seen or appreciated before. And the thing of getting time in the kitchen, that it isn't stressful or it isn't a client brief or I don't feel that I have to create something. I've just been enjoying experimenting, and that it isn't just cooking to eat, it's cooking to have fun. And
we've really had fun with food.
Yeah.
Like I think I wrote a piece on our website that I'm very proud of. About 10 people read it, but anyway, that's beyond the point. It was about how lockdown or MasterChef Australia saved me during lockdown, because I binged over 100 hours or something ridiculous. It was a lot more than that. It was a lot of hours, days worth of that show. And we now cook in a kind of weird way, in that, except when we're maybe recipe testing or having a bit of a lazy one or anything like that, we now cook in the kind of frame of mind of, oh, so it's a mystery box challenge today. Or pressure tests. So didn't for ages we were doing Sunday night pressure tests where we gave each other a task or set ourselves a task of, like, what was my one? The rotisserie duck one time on the barbecue. That was a hard one. The beef Wellington. That was a hard one, but I did it. Yeah.
So is that the kind of thing that you're taking or that you've enjoyed the most in the pandemic too, is the time
to watch MasterChef? Yeah. Well, yeah.
Okay, in the kitchen and in front of the TV.
No, not necessarily. To a degree, I've actually enjoyed the barbecue in a kind of similar way to you in the garden. I think you're in the growing end of things and I'm in the cooking end of things. So we have now 3 barbecues outside because of my
habit.
Filthy habit, and I'm very proud of it. But we've 3 of them out there, and the things, like, I have stuff arriving tomorrow that I ordered, and I'm, because it's a nice weekend, and I'm like, I don't care, I'm going to be smoking some brisket. No, not brisket, I'm doing short ribs. Smoking some short ribs out there. I got lovely beef steak, if the weather continues to be nice. It's little things like that, and I'm really excited about it, and I get really revved up about it, partially because it's not in the kitchen, so I'm away from the kitchen. But it's also that I'm outside, and it's that kind of thing of a little bit of me time. as well. Like, if it's a nice enough evening, I might just go outside, have a little cheeky pet gnat or a little martini and sit on a chair outside and watch Coronation Street while firing up my barbecue.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a unique picture that you paint there.
Yeah. And do you expect me to do anything else? Like, that is literally, and you can attest to that.
Yes.
That is exactly what I'd be going, do you want a dirty martini? Yeah, sure. Will you make it? I'm just going to fire up the barbecue and pop whatever on. And I'm just sitting there like, having the time of my life, to be honest. It's lovely.
You've also spent quite a bit of the past year broadcasting.
Mm.
And
upping
your game in terms of that. Can you talk a bit more about that?
Well, I'm currently speaking to you on my professional radio desk that I got as a birthday present, which is something I've been wanting. It's called a Rodecaster Pro for any of you geeks out there. And it's been something I've wanted for a while, but we've been keeping ourselves busy, doing a lot of online things in terms of videos. Like, you know, if you follow us, you'll know that we like Eurovision quite a flipping lot. And we, when Eurovision was cancelled in 2020, we created our own bootleg Eurovision Song Contest to replace it that went out the night before the Europe Shine a Light show that went out, and it was like a proper Eurovision, and it was like, so this is what it was called Eurovision, and it was, this is what Eurovision would look like if Ireland had it this year, and it was like the most beautiful postcards. It was really beautiful, gorgeous, and that was a lot of fun. And we've kind of kept up doing little Eurovision-y things with our friends on our Twitch channel each week. Of course, it's open to all, but it's mostly good friends of ours who join us, and that's amazing. That's been keeping us really mentally in a good place, because it feels like every Friday night we get to see our friends, and that's lovely, even though they just get to hear us and look at us and debate with us and whatnot.
I swear it isn't usually us at the forefront of our content. It's actually really rare.
But this is the... And then the other thing was that we did things like the Sound Festival for Boyne Valley Flavours, which was in November, and that was... we co-produced and broadcast it from this table, and created a really fascinating day of events and talks and discussions and interviews, and something again we're very proud of that we did in terms of broadcasting. I haven't done any podcasting because this is the first time in
you've actually appeared on more other podcasts in the past.
Yeah, we've appeared
on
your
own
three other podcasts except this one.
How crazy is that?
I know.
But on that point of, you know, spending your time over the past year evolving, you definitely have had to upskill yourself.
I'm a great video editor now.
Yeah.
I've never been able to edit a video before. Now I'm like a whiz at it.
And like, broadcasting, the other thing that us two have done a lot of in the past year is private events.
Mm.
So streaming them from home and creating cocktails and dishes and doing trainings and all kinds of things that we hadn't ever properly done before pre-pandemic, but the opportunities arose and everyone had access to, and I guess a handle on the technology available to them. So streaming events and stuff and private cocktail classes and stuff.
We've been doing a lot of them.
And it's crazy how through adversity you evolve and upskill and add new strings to your bow.
And it's funny how a habit becomes a very good skill, as in we loved making a cocktail of a Saturday.
Loved it.
But it started to grow in terms of the interest in doing that. And more companies were interested in it as a private idea, private event and whatnot. And it just kept growing. And that's been like our bread and butter in a way in a lot of things. So it's the kind of thing of like, oh God, you're so quiet on social media. And then it's like, yeah, but you should actually see real life. Which
is... poorhouse has earned every centimeter of its keep.
So it's the kind of thing of like, you know, it's amazing And it's never ever a complaint about being busy. It's never a complaint. It's never. Always just like, I'm busy, but I'd like, it's that thing. I'd like that one day. Do you know what I really want? And you'll probably guess it in two goes. Do you know what I'd really, really love?
I can think of a million things, and almost all of them are about food.
No, this one's not about food.
You would love to check into a hotel.
Yep.
You would love to open the door to a nice room. It doesn't have to be anything fancy or over the top. You all want to run a hot bath, have a glass of wine large, and
so
your iPad in front of you, and to just close the door and just chill for like 3 hours.
Until I'm a prune, both pickled and stewed. Yeah. There's an image for you,
that
lad.
That should be the title of this episode.
Yeah.
Pickled and stewed. Very good. Very good.
Yeah, that's basically... I just want a bath. We don't have a bath in this house. We only have a shower and I hate it. I want a bath.
Again, that's hitting the point home of... It's the old school stuff. It's the classic stuff that all of us have gone back to or that are craving. It's hugs, it's a hot bath, it's out in the garden, it's having fun experimenting on 8,000 banana breads.
Let's go on to that.
Got the best one.
You have got the best one. You avoided the banana bread craze because... Well, we never really had bananas much in the first
place.
We actually never really do.
But... it's a game changer if you put salted caramel in layers throughout your banana bread. It will change the entire experience of it. And also, eschew the use of butter in the banana bread. All oil.
Yeah. And like, we're big fans of butter.
Big fans, huge
fans. Love what she does. Mega. Can't wait for the next album. Mega. But
stream it right now.
Yeah. But this is oil instead, and it's fantastic.
Oil base.
Yep.
Has the perfect crumb, perfect texture.
You avoided the sourdough craze to a degree.
Well, I had a couple of years' experience of that, so it kind of draws comparisons to the everybody's had to adapt to the working from home thing.
No, try adapting to moving from London to Drogheda, where sourdough isn't available in 2017?
2017.
And literally couldn't get sourdough for love nor money. You should see the list of like illegal drugs that are probably available to us easily. But getting sourdough was hard.
It was really hard.
So you were making it in London anyway, and then started making it more and more home. So it's not been...
Yeah.
The thing.
So I didn't really give over the time to delve into those projects enough. But I've been ticking away on the sourdough, ticking away on the kombucha.
The batch loaf, which was considered a viral recipe.
Only this year, even though it's been on the internet for a good 4 years, but... again, everybody's craving and going back to those creature comforts, those classic things, those simple pleasures in life. Something so beautiful and classic that we all probably took for granted in the previous iteration of
life.
This world.
Yeah.
And so going forward, are hopefully going to have a greater appreciation of just how special those classic things are.
Well, that's the thing, I think, in terms of the special things too. We've always been feeders, very much so as feeders. We've hinted on our social media about a meal kit, which completely feeds into that thing that we're feeders in a way. I'm actually sitting beside the prototype of one, the final approval one, which will be out in a couple of days, and details will be shown out and all that type of stuff. But in terms of us being feeders, that's kind of itching or scratching that itch of feeding other people, because we love having people over at the house and everything. But that again, this bloody this table. Well, you know, I think this is the thing of if you go back to previous guest on Chew the Fat, Nigella Lawson had done her book at the table. And the whole preface of it is the importance of it and its place in the home and the place with the family and its uses and its functions. But this is the food that adorns it most. It's a lovely idea when you think of it as beyond a storage space, a office, a
studio.
But we miss feeding people. And it's the thing of like and I miss restaurants, but I miss going to restaurants with you because I think, and selected friends because we're quite like
into it.
We're quite
like nerdy
into it.
Yeah. And like,
as in, I know lots of people
stoke each other's interest in it, and like, it's really intense.
Yeah. But it's the thing, I won't be, when things are somewhat normal-ish again,
and they will be.
And they will be, and hopefully sooner than later. I'm like really more inclined to be like, I wanna, the amount of times I've gone, I can't wait for that to cook for that for when X, Y, and Z come over, or when we go for a little break with such and such, we will make this recipe, you know, that kind of thing. And even with family, it's a thing of there's recipes that I'm like, and this would be great for when your family's around, and this would be great for when my family's around, and it's those kinds of ideas. Like, that's the simple things, that it's not about the communication, it's just about the thing of, hey, I've cooked a lot, I have nice food here, let's all have a feast, because we all deserve a big feast. And I'm really keen on like just having a summer of feasts, which I hope happens, because it's not looking bloody likely at the moment. But anyway, we're not the broadcasting the broadcasters telling you about anything like that. We don't know any information.
No,
we don't have a crystal ball. We can only hope and wait and enjoy County Loud plus 20k, which is hard, but we'll get on with it, won't we?
Yeah.
Hopefully that answers the question of where's that Chew the Fat podcast anyway?
So an hour later.
Yeah, so that's where it is. Hope you enjoyed. But no, we've been wanting to do a little thing of like a catch-up type of thing. We've always been very conversational. This isn't the first episode where it's just been us two being self-indulgent and talking to each other. But won't be the last either, honey.
No.
So we will be hopefully doing something similar again in future, like this, very, very soon, in terms of a kind of weekly radio show. And if you like the idea, please tell us if you think it's terrible. Maybe don't, because actually, yeah, because that's the complex that I have now about social media.
Stop stoking his complex.
Oh, so only tell me nice things. No.
But it'd also be a great opportunity, if you are tuning into this and you are still here this far into this episode, we would love your support in potentially getting this back up off the ground again. And how about delving into the archives?
Yeah.
And if there's any episodes that you particularly enjoyed, please do tell us. If there's any episodes that you've missed, please feel free to go back over them, pop your headphones in, go out for another bloody walk, or go into the garden, or fire up the barbecue and just get lost in
the voices,
the previous stories that we shared, and be hopeful and excited about the endless future stories that we will be sharing.
And there'll be many. There really will be. Thank you for listening to this special edition of Chew the Fat. 1 year since the last episode was published. And I mean it. And I swear on everything that is good, I did not realise it is exactly a year since the last episode was published. And I am a little bit freaked out that I went, let's record this. Isn't that crazy?
It feels right.
It feels right. It does. It does. So thank you so much for listening, and we will see you, or you'll hear from us, you won't see us, somewhere. Not if I see you first, honey. Hopefully you will be able to hear more of us and bits and bobs very, very soon. But from the two of us, thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.